Welcome, everybody. This is Winfrey. This is Monday night. This is January 24th. And just a second, I should be recording this. Don't go away. Oops. Let me link into the conference call.
658 pound.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we all linked up.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. We're now live on BBS and on our conference line. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a really interesting topic tonight, and one that I would say is if you look at it, it's probably everyone's challenge, everyone. So we use the word karma, and karma is a... Hi there, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
I'm Mac Boogaloo, Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi, Mac. Are you moving to Des Moines, or are you just visiting?
Actually, I moved here. I'm going to be concentrating on grant writing for the next 5 months.
Oh, good. I want you to know you just told the world because we are live on BBS. But
wow!
Thank you for being here. Anyone needs a grant written, here's your man. I probably could use a couple grants. this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name in the city? Hello.
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean.
Now, hi, Wynn.
Muting everybody now. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. Well, we're rolling. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You're there?
Mm-hmm.
Just those of you that are tuning in for the first time, if there's anyone that fits into that category. On our Monday night call, we have discussions about various topics that usually are hard to understand or for a human to figure out for themselves. In other words, those of us that are on this planet, and I assume everyone listening fits into that category, are living on a planet that has a veil, as it's described, and that we don't have a direct connection with the things normally beyond the veil. And so we try to figure things out. And there's a number of ways of figuring things out. One way is by what I call reverse engineering. You try this and see what happens, and you watch this and see what happens, and you look for an agenda. And if there's an agenda, the agenda usually shows up over time if you're paying attention to something. And even if you look at yourself, you'll see there's patterns in your life that you don't know where they came from. It doesn't make sense, but yet it's there. And most people think that those patterns are who they are. And when you start looking at the bigger picture of life, if you start looking at Hindu and Indian philosophies, there's the idea of karma, which means that the patterns that you have are not necessarily who you are, but they're a product of all your past lifetimes. And not only in this realm, but in other realms. And that each of us is creating ourselves every moment, recreating ourselves every moment. And I believe it works this way. I believe I've had enough of my own direct experience in this lifetime that has convinced me that there is such a thing as karma, and there is such a thing as past lifetimes, and that each of us is carrying a track from all our past lifetimes, and who we are now, to some degree, is based on that track. For example, if you had a past lifetime and you did something really bad, then the chances are, in this lifetime, you would have this guilt, maybe an apologetic nature, like you're sorry about yourself. And you don't know why. And yet, somewhere in there is this subconscious memory that you did something bad. Maybe you killed a bunch of people. And it comes out as guilt. Or sometimes you'll meet somebody, and there's an automatic affinity between you and that person, and an instant connection. And the chances are likely, at least the way I'm looking at it, is that you and that person have had a positive experience in another past lifetime, or maybe many of them. And you meet them again, and that positive experience makes you feel comfortable. Or maybe you find that you suddenly find an organization that you feel really comfortable with, and who you are really is present. Maybe some of you who are coming on this line feel that way about the work we're doing on this line and the work we're presenting. You feel a connection to it, and maybe that's because we all have worked together in another lifetime. So this idea of karma, you could say good karma, bad karma, and then you could say no karma. How do you work that? In other words, are we just at the effect of all of this past stuff, or is there a way to modify things so that patterns that were deeply rooted in past events can be shifted and changed during this lifetime? Now, of course, on this call, we have not only my perceptions, but we have this opportunity to have conversations with a voice that identifies itself as a group soul that's outside of all of this, and that can look at it, can look at your patterns, look at your energy patterns, look at our energy patterns. And I guess by this look of describing this way, we also have the Earth. The Earth, everything has a connection. Everything has a link to other dimensions to some degree or another, and has an energy attached to it. So we could assume that even the Earth would have karma, the solar system would have karma, and the universe could have karma. And we are tiny little pinpricks in this realm of life. We call it life. And the way that I've described this in the past, it seems to be a good way of understanding it, is that if you think of a computer, a desktop computer, and it has a keyboard and a monitor, and then it has this hard drive, and the hard drive has huge amounts of information stored in it. It could also have viruses in it, but we don't see that information unless we have the right access code. And we would be like the monitor and the keyboard. And so we're constantly inputting data to the hard drive. The hard drive, if you feed the right thing in, it feeds the right thing back. So, for example, let's say you had a certain lifetime where you were an architect, and you had a wife who helped you, and you met that woman in this lifetime, and you started talking, and suddenly you could be reconnecting with those energies of being an architect, because that woman reminded you in some way or another. For example, when I met Daphne, there was a whole bunch of things that were totally unconscious to me that meeting her caused to come to the surface and have to be dealt with. And so all of us are in that predicament of having, dragging around this computer that's got all this stuff in it. And our lives are really very much, or to a great degree, at the mercy of the computer that we're attached to. Now, it's not really a computer. It's an energy field that has everything stored in it. And that it's about, how do you understand what's stored in that memory, of that matrix, of that energy field? How do you know what it's doing and impacting you? And how do you fix it? Now, there's a Christian concept called grace. Grace says you can fix everything in a moment. And how does that work? How can we access grace? And if grace is real, it's not just a Christian concept. It's a concept on the way the universe works. And how do we access grace so that we can clear our computer? You know, there's a lot of Christian words that correlate with this, because I would say the idea of clearing your karma, clearing your computer, is another way of saying being born again, where you can live in the moment and live as a child of the universe, operate in the moment, create in the moment without having all this baggage of all these past lives. And then, of course, in the topic line today, I said that we want to know how not to create baggage for the future. So there's two things. One is, how do you clear the baggage of the past, and how do you not create baggage for the future? Because we're in the middle of a life right now. And so we are, every one of us are involved in A, reading the old programs of our computer, and B, installing new programs. And how do we stay clear and above that whole process and access this concept of grace? And there's other, I'm trying to think of another word besides grace. Being clear, being unencumbered, being connected to all that is, creating in this realm, knowing you have the assistance and the support of other realms, living the law of one. How do you do that? Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to handle the whole process, but maybe for some of you, if we understand it, if we understand the process, then we'll get some keys on how to work with those parts of ourselves that are invisible, that we can't see. And let me see. I'll bring up, we're only 15 minutes in, so let me bring up a little bit of things that I've learned personally in this process. Because in this lifetime, I've gone through a lot of things And so is Terry. Terry could even mention some of what she did personally, because I think that when you do something personally and you master something and you see how that works, there's something to be shared there that's above and beyond, not above and beyond, but certainly important to the data from other realms. So one of the things for myself personally, when I was younger, I would say I was very contracted. I felt very unexpressed. I felt like, but I didn't know I was contracted. I spent a long time being contracted, and it felt like that's who I was. Every day you get up feeling a certain way. And I think that I felt that everyone else must feel that way also. And for me, one of the first things that started to uncontract me was when I started writing songs. And I started writing songs as a need to express myself, because otherwise I seemed like almost invisible in the world, like no one knew who I was. And I would write a song and then I would sing it to somebody, and they'd say, wow, I was thinking the same thing. That was exactly how I felt. And I was amazed, because suddenly I realized that feeling the way I was feeling was something that lots of people were feeling. And as soon as I said it in a song, there seemed to be a connection that I never could have made on a personal level through my personality. And then at a certain point in my life, I had a reading from someone who could supposedly see past lifetimes. And he told me this story of a past lifetime I had lived as a troubadour. And he said I was repeating a lot of patterns this lifetime from that lifetime. And he went on to share with me the events of that lifetime in quite a bit of detail, and that there was an individual that poisoned me, that killed me, and that I wasn't related to him, but I created some embarrassment for him. And he said, that person was my father in this lifetime, and that because he took my life, I had the option of taking, being born into his family. Now, this was a new idea at the time he said this, that I actually could choose that from the other side. And but the fact that he killed me did not mean that he was happy to see me. I stimulated all these subconscious patterns for him. It probably went something like, I thought I got rid of this guy, and here he is again. And so all through my childhood, he made me feel rejected, like I was never good enough. And but I didn't understand it at the time. I just wanted to be good enough, and he kept rejecting me. So I used to walk around with my shoulders hunched up to my ears, and I remember one of my aunts were coming over and saying, why, relax, let your shoulders down. And when I look back on it, I see that I was protecting myself from him. And finally, when I was 18, I couldn't wait to leave home, and I went to school at Berkeley, University of California, and I thought I wanted to be a physics major, because all through high school, I was a ham radio operator, and I was putting antennas on my roof. And And I probably, I am sure, had past incarnations where I was highly technical. And now I was in college and I met this woman who I started writing songs, lyrics to other people's songs. And I think I actually was doing it just for fun. But I sent some of my lyrics to this woman, and she just fell for me. And we ended up traveling around the country. I had all these synchronicities. And, like, she was a key person to click me into another program in my computer, because I don't think I would have pursued being a songwriter if I hadn't met her. Now, the interesting thing about this karmic situation is that when this guy gave this reading to me, I had written a song about the same lifetime, which I thought was a fantasy. And yet it totally precisely matched the information that he gave me in the reading. And it was that reading that convinced me that reincarnation had to be real. Well, now I started to understand this pattern that I was going through, this self-rejection that I was going through. And I saw how it got implemented by the way my father's energy field worked with my energy field as I was growing up. And but I could, just knowing that didn't stop me, didn't release me from the pattern. It helped me understand the pattern. And I had this great tool that I worked with for quite a few years, and it was observing the pattern. So what would happen would be, prior to observing this pattern, I thought I was the pattern. And I guess what that made me, it made me feel unlovable. No one liked me because I was rejecting myself, because I was mimicking the rejection that I felt from my father. So I defined myself as being unworthy. Some of you read my poem, Worthiness. I defined myself as being unworthy, and now I knew that that was not me, but it was programmed into me. So I started to watch. And when that feeling would come up, I would say, that's not me. That's the feeling that I was programmed with. And I, every time it would come up, which was quite often, I would say that. And the part of me that was observing the pattern was outside of the pattern. And so this is the key. The key is, when you have a repetitive pattern that seems negative, and this is quite normal to feel unworthy, it's quite normal to feel all kinds of things for many people, and they think that's who they are, and they act that way, they act it out. Well, once you can identify a pattern that keeps repeating in yourself, whether or not you have a past life reading and can point to that and say that's from that, you can be fairly certain that that's the case, that it's been something that's programmed, and that just the act of observing it helps to clear the pattern. Now, this is not grace. This is a different way of working with it. Grace, I think, is a little faster, a lot faster. And grace is something that's implemented when, you know, I say this on our Sunday grid healings, that it's possible, since there's no time in the universe, all time exists simultaneously, that when you can connect to the part of yourself that existed before all these patterns got established, and when you can connect with these sources that we speak to on this line, it enables a moving back to the place where you were before all these patterns got established. And then you can, the patterns can start to heal, not because you try anything or do anything, but it's like magic. Now, I believe some of the people that have been on our conference call over and over again have experienced some of that. I know they have, because that energy is on these lines. And if you've discovered this line, it's worth your while to experiment yourself to see if this works, because there's an energy on the line of grace. And if you come in and start to pick up that energy, and let me not use the word grace. Let me use, there's an energy of the line that moves into the matrix higher and above where all your karmic patterns are. And when you start to tap into that energy, the karmic patterns start to heal. And, you know, the way it looks to me, a way of understanding it, is that the universe, we say this over and over, the universe is one being, but we're separated from that here in this realm. When you start to access for your own experience the truth of oneness, when you can see everything is part of yourself, you're now no longer getting caught in lower matrices. You're in a flow. You have to be in a flow, because each moment is its own moment and its own recreation, and you can't carry things from yesterday into today. You have to be able to recreate today in a total new blank slate. Not only recreate today, but recreate the next second, the next minute. And, you know, one of the easy ways to do this is to be of service, true service, because true service causes your matrix to shift, because it creates an intent to care above and beyond anything you're going to get back from the caring. In this realm, when you are involved in give and take, cause and effect, he owes me, I did this, if I do this, maybe I'll make more money, if I do this, maybe she'll sleep with me. As long as you have that kind of transaction in your mind, there's an exchange going on that on some level creates residual, unfulfilled, incompleted energy. Like, for example, if you went out on a date with a woman and you forgot that, I'm talking from a guy's point of view, and you forgot that you really wanted to sleep with her while you're on the date. Of course, part of you will always want to, but you forgot it, and you just had a really good time, and you enjoyed her. Well, guess how much that would increase the chances of her going home with you? Quite a bit. But if you're just trying to be good and to please her, saying, I hope I get what I want, well, she might be looking at you and saying, well, if I do this, he might spend money on me. He might do this. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a karmic exchange. It's like give and take, obligation. Tit for tat. And there's a whole level of the universe in this realm that works on that law. It's called the law of karma, the law of Moses, And to some extent, you can't be in this realm and not be part of that law, because you have to have some give and take and exchange and obligation just to be in this realm, because you have a house, you pay your mortgage, you have an apartment, you pay rent, you go to the restaurant, you buy food, and you have to pay for it. So it's not to discard give and take, but it's learning the difference between give and take and real service. And real service means you do something with no expectation and totally from your heart for the benefit of the universe and for the benefit of the person. But the person may or may not take it, but your intent has to be really spot on, and you start operating above karma. And to create circumstances in your life, and each person has to figure out, how do I do this? What do I do? It could be visiting an old age home. It could be answering a suicide line. It could be walking around and giving dollars out to homeless people, just deciding this is the day I'm going to do that. And do these things occasionally where you give with absolutely no expectation of return, and notice the shift in how you feel inside of yourself, because this starts to access this higher principle. And you need to have an experience of having a transaction in this realm that's not karmic. It's not bound by law, cause and effect. And then as you learn that, you learn how it works, and you can implement more of it in your life. So it has to be an experiment. You can't do it. See, it's like if I said do that and you're going to free yourself from karma, and then you do it because you think you're going to free yourself from karma, it would be like no different than some minister saying, come to church every Sunday and you'll go to heaven, or tithe to the church and you'll go to heaven. No. That can all work, but not because you're doing it for that reason. If you came to church because you felt the brotherhood of everybody, if you came to church because you felt the spirit of people in the room, and if you did it for those reasons, it's working. But if you're doing it because you have some expectation of something, it's not going to work. It's not doing. You have to move into the place where you do things with no expectation. And obviously you can't live your whole life this way. So it just has to be a tiny little segment. What can I do today? What can I give where there's no expectation involved, and where I stand the chance of changing somebody's life, right? And now you start to invoke grace. Like, I'll give an example of something that happened to me this way, that, you know, where I was at the Conscious Life Expo 6 months ago, and there was a guy that came by our booth, and I looked at him, and I could really feel him, and I felt a real connection with him, and I could feel that he was oppressed. And instead of saying, buy my book, da, 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 come to my lecture, come to my workshop, I just talked to him for a while. And I tried to address his compression in a really caring way. And I struck home because he shifted. Something shifted him on the spot. He looked at me, and he had all this loving in his eyes. And he did come to my workshop, but I didn't have to take that time. From the point of view of being at an expo, taking 20 minutes and talking to somebody was not a good use of time, because we spent $1,100 to be at that booth. And, you know, part of it is to sell books. You don't want it to not work out in a how can I say it, a successful way. You don't want to lose money. So, but yet I took that time. And then 2 weeks later, the guy called me back and said, well, there's somebody I want to introduce you to who I think might help your work. So we made an introduction, and something may happen on that. But the point is, it was the good nature of me. I didn't talk to him because I wanted him to introduce me to somebody. I really cared. And then because of that, he reached back and said, I want to introduce you to this person. And it's a free flow of really good energy. Not like somebody wants to get involved and make money from me or me to use them to make money from them. It's a building connection. And that's one example. So there was an innocence that started it on my part, just to share something of value to this person. Now, I'm doing all this talking. I'm going to stop for a moment. It's 7:36. Terry. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I was muted. Here I am.
Now, I know that you have worked through a lot of stuff this lifetime, and stuff that we could call karma. Maybe take a moment. 7:37, 7:04. We don't have a lot of time to do a channeling, but I think this human side of things is really important, and we will take a few minutes, and why don't you share, if you want to. Do you want to share something on this? Something come to mind to share?
Sure.
Share how you know, you transformed some of your patterns from the past, and I know you have. I've seen you transform a lot of stuff just around the work we're doing in the last few years. So maybe go ahead and share something that comes to mind.
Okay. I have had certain patterns that I know I've had over certain lifetimes, and it's like, in some ways, being a broken transformer box. It wasn't just one thing that needed, that was bothering me. It was a whole multitude of things. And I started out looking back over my past lifetimes and seeing incidents that were brought forward. And one of the major incidents was like my last life death. It seems like a death is how a person dies is kind of important. So that if it's really sudden, there's no transition. And so you get situations where a person dies suddenly, maybe in a car wreck or something, and you see the ghost of the person standing on the side of the road, hitching a ride, and maybe getting in the car, somebody gives the person a ride, the ghost a ride, and they sit in the back seat and say, you know, I had a wreck. And then the guy turns around and looks at the person and they're gone. Because the transition is just, there's no transition, and so everything keeps going forward. And that happened to me because in my last life I was murdered by my husband's girlfriend. And I didn't even know what was going on, but they came over. He brought her home one day, and suddenly I found myself like dead, and I became a ghost. And I was walking around everywhere and talking to the mailman, saying hello to the mailman, and he never answered. And so I got kind of uncommunicative. Like, what's the use of saying hello or talking to anybody because they didn't even answer? And so eventually I left. They had thrown me in the ocean, and eventually the body broke into parts, and then I felt released. And so I went, spiritually, I went to New York, and I was kind of used to operating as a ghost. And so I observed this very patient, beautiful woman drawing beautiful pictures, artistic demonstrations for a magazine, and I just thought, this is so beautiful, and I have an artistic bent, so I hung around her. And then I got born to be her girl. And so I was outgoing and cheerful and communicative and everything until I was about six. And then I got placed in a foster home. And my parents told me that I could come home for my birthday. And so I was very happy about that. I was just ecstatic. And they said they were going to invite all my little friends over, my little cousins. So I went to the party, and I made the mistake. I spilled, my mother gave me some ginger ale, little cups to take to everybody, and I managed to spill it on my dress and tip them all over. And my mother began yelling at me that I had ruined everything. And I got so, so upset. And I just said, no, I hadn't ruined everything, and the dress would dry. And so I went into a room by myself, and I kept trying to dry the dress. Meanwhile, the whole party went by, and I didn't even attend or talk to anybody. And then at the end of the party, my mother said, well, okay, we're taking you back to the foster home. And so I had this fury. You know, this was my big deal. That, you know, this was my party, and I had all this anger, and so I felt like I wasn't worthwhile because she yelled at me in front of everybody, and it was like an incident. And I think a lot of people have some incident in their life where things start to screw up, and they get an idea. Though I got the idea that I wasn't worthwhile, it's like because she was yelling at me that I always ruined everything. And I was very impressionable during this time. And
Terry, we got about 7 minutes left, and everyone's saying, "What? Shut up." I think they're saying that. Maybe they're not. Send me emails. Say you're not, but they. Let's bring them in and see their take on what the fastest way to deal with what's called karma or anything they want to add that's really helpful to this topic. Okay.
Yeah. Well. I'll just take two sentences and finish the story.
Okay.
So. Then I had a lot of anger, and I didn't know why. And so the process was observing myself and seeing, like, when I spilled something, you know, what my reactions were. And it's gradually I sorted the whole incident out, and so it wasn't affecting me. But it took quite a while, That's observation is really important. And anyway, okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. So observation and grace are the two ways that I say of transcending your karmic track. So Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a blending of all our energies, all our consciousnesses, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us so we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave Tao, and we await for the greeting from our source.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is the 24th of January 2011 on planet Earth, and we greet each and every one of you and with warm feelings in this cold Clipper Express climate of the United States and England, Germany, and other countries, we send warmth and love to you in this winter time. And do you have questions?
Well, we're talking about the karma of how to lift yourself above old karma and how to not create new karma. And why don't you just address that topic in any way that you think would be most beneficial for those people that are listening? We have about 4.5 minutes. Sorry to give you such a small area, but we can continue this later if it would be worthy. Thank you.
Thank you. Each individual connects with a hologramic view to their lifetime and move within their hologramic connections. Within the hologram in the moving through the one lifetime, there enter factors which affect the individual's belief patterns. One of them is whether the individual is worthy or not. And when they run into questions of the parents or the person or people raising the child, that might be just an offhand comment by one of the parents. This can then affect the belief pattern of the child. So when the individual feels feelings of inferiority or not worthwhileness, they can, at that moment, observe and see what the connection with earlier incidents in that lifetime are that may have influenced this belief. The pictures or the sounds, the sensations, what are they when one is experiencing that? And realize that whatever comes in, it is part of a past incident or trauma. It can be this life or it can be an earlier life that has been impressed upon the individual, and it is not truly the own the person's identity, or it is not correct in that the person is a beautiful child of all that is, a child of God, and is worthy of love no matter what has happened. And all of these distortions that have been brought into the hologramic field can be observed and one by one cleared, so that with each thing that is cleared, the individual may move more into his own center, his own control center, as if a person feels that they are unworthy or not worthwhile, then they will have trouble with control because they don't feel that they should have control, and they're placed under the control of other people. So some individuals use degrading comments in order to get control and to take the energy. Those are comments in this area.
Thank you. You know, I have a lot of questions I could ask. Like, questions that we don't have time for is, like, when a person starts to, I'll just mention this myself, when a person starts to clear these patterns, oftentimes they surface and they make the person feel worse for a while instead of better, which is called the dark night of the soul. So when you really choose to face all of this, most people will have to go through a period that may be not pleasant, and then they avoid going through this, and they just keep repeating the pattern. I think that's, I don't have time to ask, have an answer for that. But excuse me for not giving much time, and I think we will table this conversation for a future Monday night, where we continue the idea of how to clear your karma and how to not create new karma. And to our sources, we got like 30 seconds. Would you like to say goodbye before we end the show?
We are with you and are available to you. And we send our heart energy, heartfelt love to each and every one of you. Adonai.
Thank you so much. Thank everybody. I thank everyone for listening tonight. And Wednesday night, we have our question and answer session. So feel free to ask a question, questions@messageday.net. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for participating.
Stop conference recording. Press your conference recording has stopped.